Hello, Rich Girls. I have a special episode for you today. Welcome to Conspiracy Corner. No, that's not even true. Welcome to Escaping the Matrix. This week's episode is a little bit different. It's actually a recording that I didn't think I was going to release to the public, but I think in light of what's going on in the world, it's an important message that I want to get out there. This was a recording from a live recording last week, one of our Q&A calls for the Old Money Mindset group. And this is a course that I put together all about emotional regulation, the old money mindset, how to basically weather every storm, whether it's a financial storm, a relationship storm, a self-induced storm, or a firestorm of news and chaos and things going on in the world. So it's a perfect time to talk about this because in these live calls, not only do we have a live Q&A portion, which I was so excited about last week, connecting with the Old Money Mindset girlies, but I get to riff in a little bit more of an informal way. It's a little bit more of the philosophy and the thoughts and the energy and the upgrades that need to happen for us to be able to not just survive, but to thrive in times of chaos. That's what having an old money mindset is all about. It's about approaching money with a level of certainty, the world with a level of certainty, and being able to be the one that's in control of your energy, your emotions, and your destiny, because they, whoever your they is, whether it's a villain in your mind or the government or capitalists or Jeff Bezos or the elite, anyone that's outside of you is the they. If they are dictating how you spend your energy, how you spend your money, how you spend your time, that's when you lose control. And we need to think about what we can stay focused on, which is our energy, our money, our homes, ourselves. And I talk a lot about in this recording how we abandon ourselves in times of survival, not because we're not smart, we're very smart women, but because of all of the pressures and all of the things that are going on, the things that we normally do in times of stress is we abandon ourselves and we abandon nurturing ourselves. And that's the thing that we should do most of all right now, not just because self-care feels nice, but because it's our responsibility to ourselves and to our families and to the world. I get into it in the recording. So this was recorded on Zoom, so it's been compressed a couple of times. So the sound quality is not the best, so bear with me on this one. And these videos are always going to be available in the Old Money Mindset course. If you haven't signed up for Old Money Mindset, I'll drop the link in the show notes. But this is the achievement of my life, of going through this process and finally understanding how to deal with everything that I feel. Not like we talk about the Stoics, like watch me take down the Stoics, like no big deal. Sorry, Marcus Aurelius. Watch me take down the Stoics in this recording. But I talk a lot about how as a woman and like as somebody who feels a lot, what I have actually done to process all of the trauma or all of the triggers that come up in my life in this course. Like it is a toolkit for dealing with when things get hard. And in this particular recording, I talk about two techniques of processing. We talk about the five whys, and then we talk about the inner child work. And the workbook that I reference many times in this is included in the Old Money Mindset course. And for me, that is the key to it all. I've printed it out. It's 80 some pages. It's not just journaling prompts and exercises. It gives you the exact steps to bust through any of your limiting money beliefs or love beliefs. It has all of the techniques for the somatic processing and healing of anything that you're going through. It has changed my money life. It's changed my relationship. I'm so proud of it. And I would love for you to join us in there. It is still available for you to register. The link is in the show notes. Also, just as a quick piece of housekeeping, the Old Money Podcast Listener Survey is open now. I'd love to hear from you. I'm going to drop that in the show notes as well. And in the meantime, check in with me. I love you guys so much. I know there's a lot going on out there. And the first thing that we have to do is take care of ourselves and each other. So that's what I hope this podcast serves for you as a little bit of comfort, a little bit of a mindset realignment, and a little bit of support. I love you. And I'll talk to you next week. Hello, loves. Welcome back. Welcome back to Old Money Mindset, Old Money Podcast. Who knows where this piece of content will go and flow and be. But I thought it was so important to touch base as this is our first private call, and I'm so grateful for this time that's on my calendar and people that are a part of this community. Thank you for being here, and thank you for spending time with me in my evolution and letting me bear witness to yours, because it's beyond For a girl who struggled in finding her footing in friendships, who struggled in finding her spot in high school or college or whatever it was, we have to create the communities that we wish we were a part of. And the community of rich girls and everybody that's a part of Old Money with us is just, it's just beyond. And in a week like this week was, it is such a comfort and a crutch to me in navigating the world out there. I'm recording this in my office on a Friday afternoon, and my office is like my little cave. Like, I come here, it's one room, it's nothing spectacular, but I like buckle down here. I have made millions of dollars sitting in this room. I have made hundreds of hours of recordings of podcasts and creative ideas, and some never see the light of day, and some of them are this. And this has been the place that I've been all week to try to kind of get my feet underneath me. And I'm recording this Friday, September 12th, 2025. But the sad reality of it is you could be listening to this at any year, any week, any time in the past, in this present moment, or in the future, and this will still ring true because this week was crazy. This week was crazy yet again. There was a tragedy with somebody who escaped, literally escaped war and communism, only to come to this country and have her life taken from her. It was another school shooting on top of the one last week and the week before that. There was a political assassination this week, and the news is out of control. The commentary is out of control. And this is the same way that I felt during COVID, during 9/11, when I was a freshman in high school, during Black Lives Matter, during the riots in LA in the 90s, during, I don't know, when I was on my first vacation with Justin and the Taliban took over Afghanistan and I lost my damn mind and was crying in Cabo for a week. And Justin was like, what's wrong with you? And I feel it all so deeply. And it was the fires in the Palisades and in Pasadena earlier this year. It was the earthquake in Haiti. It's the political revolution in Nepal. It's this, it's that. The world is crazy. And this whole course is about old money mindset. And, you know, we talk about the archetype of the wealthy woman, and I always reference back to like a Lily Vanderwoods and to a character in an old money novel, to a woman who has her hair in a chignon, she has her little pearls on, and her husband just got murdered, and she's cold as ice. Like, she is the one that is emotionally regulated. She has been taught, she has been trained. And usually it's from a place of restriction. It's usually from a place of not expressing. And we know how the story ends for that woman. That woman is miserable. That woman goes to jail because she's the one that murdered her husband. It's always the same trope. And these old money families, especially these like more English or the stiff upper lip type of a look, it's not what we're talking about in old money mindset. We're talking, how do we cultivate a mindset that is unshakable, no matter what's happening in our bank accounts, no matter what's happening on the news, no matter what's happening in our world, how can we continue to take care of ourselves so that we can be the light in the moment of darkness? Because as women, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to focus on. That's the way that this turns around. I don't have an immediate solution to stop a political assassination or another school shooting. I have a lot of opinions about what I believe should be done in this country. And by the way, this is not politicized. No, it's not that at all. The person that was brutally executed this week, I actually don't agree with on most of their stuff, to be honest with you. But I know this person had a good heart and good intentions and was so value-driven and so core in what they believed. And was offering an opportunity for civil political discourse that has never happened at scale like this in my lifetime. And what happened was a tragedy. And seeing people's responses to it on the internet has just disgusted me. And it really brought me back to this place of being triggered and dysregulated and emotional. And of course, I can be emotional. I can cry. I can feel the heartbreak for the family and what it means for our country and the way that people are. But there is a decision tree here whenever something happens, whether it's something in my personal life, something that happens in the news, something that happens in your personal life. And that decision tree is, am I going to let this dysregulate me? Or am I going to get a hold of myself and figure out a way to be in the midst of this chaos that serves me and the community at large, because we are all rocks in a pond. When you throw a rock, a pebble, a stone into a placid pond, it leaves rings, ripples, an effect that goes out into the rest of the water. And our energies do that. Like, we forget the impact that we have because we're just one person, but we're all just one person vibrating, literally physically vibrating. We are electric beings. If you die, they start your heart again with electricity. And that electricity has waves to it. It has frequencies. It has energies that radiate off of our bodies. And so if I decide to allow my life and the news and the things that are happening in the world to dysregulate me, I'm going to vibrate at a dysregulated frequency. That's not my fault. I mean, it's biology. It's my brain. It's the fact that when I'm dysregulated, when something happens and it feels scary to me, it feels threatening to me, it feels sad, it feels overwhelming, it feels whatever it feels, I feel like I need to flee or fight or express or get angry. And my reaction to that is physiological. It's the blood rushing away from my rational brain and into my limbs and into the amygdala and my brain that is all about survival, because that's what it feels like when you see something like we saw on the internet this week. That's what it feels like. Just TMI, but I'm also, you know, I've been crying all week. And then, you know, I get my period yesterday. I'm like, okay, let's put all pieces together. Like, that's why I'm hypersensitive. My estrogen's high and my hormones are all over the place and I'm just feeling my feelings. And I used to think that was something that was annoying. I used to think that was something that was impeding on my ability to be a producer. And the reality is that as women, we are meant to go through cycles and we are meant to feel things deeply. And actually, when we are on our cycle, we are more intuitive and more nurturing and more in need of being in tune with ourselves and the earth and the communities than ever before. So it's not a bad thing that I've been feeling more than I've been feeling this week. It's the right thing because it's motivating me to action. It's motivating me to use my voice. It's realigning me with what it is that I want to build in this world, which is a community of rich girls like you that are listening to this call, to this recording, to this whatever, because my God, we have to band together and we have to take control of our inner worlds so that we can be the ones to lift this world up. I've been so busy this week and I've been processing essentially at 6 o'clock after I shut my computer and I have scheduled a breakdown for processing and reading and doing all of the things that I need to do to process through. And I actually have it on my mental calendar this week to spend some time to take care of myself and to actually go through the rituals that are in the workbook to fully process through the anger, the fear, somatically, emotionally, logically, using all of the tools that I laid out there that I've collected over all of these years to actually move the emotion through me. But I didn't have the time or resources for that this week. So I did have time while I was walking Poppy during lunch on Thursday to just do a little bit of reading, like walking and reading, had in my phone. And, you know, what came across my desk was a post from Ryan Holiday. And if you're not familiar with Ryan Holiday, he's a modern author. I think he's like in his 40s, and he's written a lot of books on stoicism. And Ryan Holiday is a really interesting guy because he's fully committed his life, and he's an author, to studying the works of the Stoics. And the Stoicism, I don't want to call it movement, but like idea or way of thinking, is it has you focus on what you can control, your thoughts, your choices, and your actions, and to accept calmly without any friction what you cannot control, like other people or bad luck or the weather or a political uprising or a tornado or whatever. And it encourages you to stay calm in tough times, to avoid being overruled by your anger or your fear or your emotion, and to live with wisdom and fairness and self-control. And for me, this idea has always felt very masculine and very cerebral. Like, I am not the type of person that's like, I'm just going to think my way out of my emotions. Like, that does not work for me. I'm a Cancer. I'm a woman. I'm an emotional being. I care. I have a heart. for tragedy, and I'm also just not a Stoic. I don't know. I'm not like living in a robe like back with Aristotle. But the thing about Stoicism is that it really does underline the need for emotional regulation. And what came across my desk was this video that Ryan Holiday had recorded, and he actually recorded it back in July of 2024. Okay, so I don't know what was going on in July of 2024. I don't remember last year. I don't even remember Monday. But he recorded this clip, and I wrote it down because it's such a good quote, and I want to read it to you. Again, Ryan Holiday is the originator of this quote, and he said, "You think you're the first person to live in political dysfunction? You think you're the first person to think the world is falling apart? You think you're the first person to live in a time when people are cruel to each other, where demagogues had power, when everything feels like it's collapsing? No, you're not. The ancient Stoics lived under Nero. You know, Socrates, he didn't live in Athens' golden age. He lived under the 30 tyrants through a great power conflict. People have always lived in difficult times. But do you know what they figured out? They figured out that you have to focus on what's in your control. You have to figure out how to not let the assholes turn you into an asshole. You have to do good where you can. You have to remind yourself that's what's truly important. You can't follow every news story. You can't be distracted by every outrage. You can't exaggerate every event into the end of the world. You have to write it out. You have to focus. You have to stay good and stay decent. And then you have to make a positive difference where you can. You can't give up hope. You have to stand strong. And you have to realize in times like these, there have always been times like these, and people got through them. You will get through this. It might even be your opportunity to be great, to be heroic, to make a difference. That's what you focus on in dysfunctional, crazy, scary times." And this to me, like I said, listen to this episode in March of 2020. Listen to this episode in 2028 or 2045. I don't care when you listen to this recording, because this will always hold true. And we think we are living in the worst time ever, and we forget about the economic collapse of 2008 and the recession of 1987, and we forget about the Great Depression, and we forget about Vietnam and the Gulf War and the Cold War and World War II and all of the things. And forgetting where we are in light of eternity is the first thing that we forget when we're feeling like we're being attacked, because we forget perspective. Now, the Stoics have always felt very masculine to me. Why? Because it's a bunch of old white men sitting around in Rome and, like, you know, the Pantheon, or, you know, they're talking shit and thinking about things on some marble steps. And that doesn't work for me, okay? I'm not like a old marbly white guy. So while the Stoics believe that we can focus on what we can control, and I agree with that, and the Stoics believe we shouldn't waste our energy on what we can't control, like the weather, other people's opinions, or whatever, we should always try to be kind and fair and calm, even when things feel hard or unfair. I say that's a great idea in theory, but in practice, it feels nearly impossible. It feels nearly impossible. So what do we need to do to make it possible? I want to pivot for 1 second. This is old money mindset. We're talking a lot about money. And, you know, we've talked about relationships in this course. We've talked about dealing with the world at large in this course. But this whole point of things are always happening, the world is always turning, there's always going to be a crash, a correction of this, of that. We know it's coming. It's cyclical. So how do we protect our energy through the booms and busts? How do we protect our energy when we inevitably have our stock market portfolio look like it's crumbling because there's been a correction in the market? We know it's coming, but when it happens, it feels like the end of the world. We were talking about what happens when we get flooded, triggered, distracted, overwhelmed, is that because we don't have the brain power, we forget all of the muscles that we've built and the faith that, like, it's going to cycle back. Like, when there's bad times and there's good times, when there's good times and there's bad times, we have to build these pattern interrupts for ourselves so that we can think clearly again. And, you know, the pattern interrupt for me when I was overspending like a crazy person was to put my credit cards in a block of ice in the freezer so that I didn't have them in my wallet. Or if I had a debit card, it was wrapped with like a rubber band and a note to be like, girl, are you really spending this? It's like, what do we need to do to pattern interrupt so that we can make sure that we don't react We don't respond negatively. We don't let the world or the market or our bank account or our paycheck or our boyfriend or our husband be the thing that dictates how we go about our day, but we decide how we go about our day. I'm going to tell you about my day really quick. I have two offices. My mail gets delivered to my other office, and I went there and I confirmed somebody was going to be at the office. I get there, nobody's in the office. I wait 25 minutes. Nobody ever shows up. I'm calling, I'm like texting and emailing, like, hello, I need to get my mail, because they have it locked up, of course. Nobody is there. And I'm like, okay, this just wasted. I'm waiting for 25 minutes. I got there and had to drive out of my way. I'm now 15 minutes late for my workout. I think about like, oh my God, I should just cancel my workout. I'm so irritated. Then I'm going to pay for my parking. This is a true story. This just happened to me today. It's one of those like stands where you like pay with your, it's not a meter. It's like you pay for the ticket or whatever on the street. And I'm paying with my phone and I'm like waving my Apple Pay around. It's not registering. As I'm standing there, a small dog comes and pees on the machine that I'm trying to pay on. There's a dog barking in the apartment behind me. A dog is peeing. My card's not working for my Apple Pay. I'm literally like, are you kidding me? Like, what is going on right now? So I'm late for my workout already because I didn't get my mail, which now I have to go back, and that's wasting a bunch of time. I can't pay for my parking. I'm like, I'm going to get a freaking parking ticket. This dog pees literally nearly on my feet, and I have a moment where I'm like, I'm going to scream. This is crazy. Like, this is crazy. What is going on? And then I was like, okay, girl, gather yourself. What do you want this workout to be? Do you want to walk in and say to your trainer, I'm in a bad mood? Or do you want to walk in and be like, I'm having a day where I am choosing to be positive? So I get my credit card out of the car. I pay for my parking. I go in. I'm like, do my shoes stink? No, they're okay. And I'm walking in there and I'm literally thinking, reset, reset, reset. Because I know if I skip my workout, I'm going to be even worse off than I was before. And I know that that decision tree of my life, that ripple effect, me as the stone in the pond, can go one of two ways. I can be in a bad mood because of everything that's happened this week and all of the nonsense that's happening online and all of the things that have made me feel dysregulated and all the things, and I can get on the call with my client and be a bitch, or I can get on the call with my team member and be like, hey, I'm really pissed off. Or I can go home and I can be like, oh, Justin, I had a terrible day. And instead of us having a glass of wine or going out to dinner or having a date or being connected, I'm in a bad mood. So I create the friction, and the friction radiates off of me to create more disconnection and more chaos and more trouble. Or I can, instead of letting the world affect me, I can be a calm light in the world and own that I am dysregulated, and I can feel that energy and know that I'm going to process it, and I can let it move through me and let it motivate me and let it be the energy and the vehicle that brings me here to teach and to share and to hold and to hug and to connect, and let it move me to my core, the feminine in me that is motivated more than ever to use my natural talents to create content and connection and breed peace and to teach about tolerance, and to, I can decide to show up and make it a good day and let that energy move through me and radiate in a way that's not anger. It's not dysregulation. I pattern interrupted. I said, let's get yourself together, girl. And then I went and did the thing that I knew I needed to do so I could show up to this call, so I could show up to my client meeting, so I can show up to my team meeting, and I can be my best self. And the ripple effect that I have with my team, with my client, with this call is powerful. It's serving me. It's energy giving to me. It's not draining my whole life and life force. I decide. I talk a lot about money as water. And we've talked about this in the Money is Water workshop. I talk about money related to water as it relates to words like currency, which comes from the word current, or why we use all of these different terms that have to do with states of water, like money slipping through your fingers or frozen assets or liquidity, or all of these different ways that we refer to money in a relation to water. And it just so happened that I saw this video of this rabbi speaking about the same thing. And he said, you know, we look at the stream of money, again, streams of income, And we look at this like a river. And if you look at the river, you can do a couple of things. If you're thirsty, you need water, like you need money, you can go by the river and you can put your hands in the water and you can put the water to your mouth and you can drink. And that's a very effective way for you to get water right then and there, but it's only that immediate moment. And it's not a very large amount. You want a little bit more water, you need to create a bucket. You get that bucket and you collect more water or you collect more money. You can also, from this stream, irrigate your crops. Now you're going to use the power of the stream that's natural from the mountains to the ocean, and you're going to direct that water in a certain way to irrigate the crops or to irrigate a city and have drinking water for a city. When you become a little bit more innovative and you build the tools and the methodology, you can take that water and direct it where you need it to go so it serves you. The same with money. Maybe you have a passive income stream. Maybe you have a second job. Maybe you have one job. Maybe you have a savings account and you dam up some of that water and you put it into a little lake and that's your savings account. All of the ways that we deal with money relates to how we would deal with water. And there's also this idea that you could irrigate it, you could dam it up, you could direct it this way, you could get a bucket, you could use your hands, or you could jump into the river. When you jump into the river, you let the water carry you where it's going to go. It's just going to take you down the river. I look at emotions the exact same way I look at water and the way that I look at money. And that's why this whole old money mindset course came to be, because the way that money flows, the way that water flows, the way that my emotions flow, they move through me. And emotions move through me. Can I jump into the stream of water by jumping into a river? Can I jump into the stream of money by creating a business that's participating with the economy and is growing and moving? Can I jump into the flow of emotions? And I thought, you know, I don't think I'm a go in the river type of girl. I don't think I'm a go in the river type of girl. I don't think that's the right approach. It's certainly one way to get very wet. But I'm not going to the water to get wet. I'm going to the water to drink. I'm not going to the money to get swept away in it. I'm going to create something that's sustainable. And I'm not going to visit my emotions to get caught up in them and dysregulated and carried down this crazy river into the ocean that turns into a wave and slams me into the sand and sucks the actual air out of my being. That's what happens when we let the money, the water, the emotion run our lives. When we jump into the stream and we just go where it's going to go, that is dysregulation at its core. I'm not trying to get wet. I'm trying to get water. Does that make sense? So when we can be wise with the stream, when we can be wise about how we approach the water and the river and the money and the emotions, we can evaluate the conditions with wisdom and with discretion and then decide how we want to interact with the stream. And it's typically the strategy that wins long term. It's typically the engineering and the processing of where is the best place to irrigate from, what's the aqueduct that needs to be built, what's the savings account, what's the investment vehicle, what's the processing of my emotion, how do I want to use this wave of whatever's happening in my life, in this world, to my benefit. The wisdom is what we need. The discretion is what we need. And there's a lot of times where we allow the river of our life, of our emotions, of circumstance, to be the thing that dictates where we go. Maybe it's the relationship that we just jump in the water and there we go off on the stream. Are you going to be a wise sailor? Are you going to work with the water, work with the stream, work with the emotion, work with the money, figure out how to extract what it is you actually want of that? Or are you just going to jump in and get wet? I mean, I think that's really the core of the Stoics. It's like everything's happening around me and I can decide how I want to be amongst it. I can decide what it is I can control, which is my reaction, which is my presence, my energy, all of these things. So for me this week, I've needed a lot of inner child work, and I've needed a lot of time that I haven't yet had. And so I'm selfishly going to do this with you guys, whatever it is that's going on in the world, whenever it is that you're listening to this. It's using two of the tools from the workbook that I always am coming back to. And the first one, and the one that I think is the most potent, is the five whys. And the five whys is a technique designed to help us uncover the root causes of an issue instead of just treating symptoms. When a problem pops up, when I feel flooded, when I feel triggered, when I feel alone, when I'm starting to feel anything that doesn't align with the future version of me, the wealthy woman archetype, the CEO, the whatever doesn't feel good, I'm like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And it's peeling back the layers of an onion, and it forces us to go deeper than surface level to reveal the hidden beliefs, those subversive things that we've inherited from our parents, the habits, or the system, like flaws, the bad programming. And it helps us address the actual root cause problem instead of putting a Band-Aid on it. Because it would be very easy for me to say, why am I upset? Like, I'm upset because somebody got murdered. That's a very easy way to be upset. But like, why did I get so upset about this person? Well, because it feels like a political assassination that's akin to JFK, Martin Luther King Jr., whatever else you wanted to say. I'm not equating those people. I'm just saying it feels that way. Why is a political assassination so triggering to you, Amber? Well, because it has to do with civil unrest, and that makes me feel fearful about what other private citizens are out there capable of doing and how that might impact my family, myself, my safety. Why is that so triggering to you? Well, because it really makes me feel unsafe. Okay, well, what am I going to do about that? Like, why does that feeling of unsafety like dysregulate you so much? Well, because I feel like I'm going to get shot if I speak out. That's the core issue. I feel like I'm going to get punished if I speak out. Like, what is the root cause issue? And the root cause issue for me is that it's not safe to be myself. It's not safe to be myself. And that's what's really triggering to me. Now, with the five whys, our inner child, the part of us that was left small, unseen, unheard, unsafe, those versions of us still live within us. So the five whys is the exploration and a safe capacity to explore not what is the surface level of what's happening with us, and not to be a stoic and just be like, I'm not going to let what's happening in the news bother me. The feminine archetype is nurturing. And we talk so much about nurturing our families and our friends and our communities and our partners. And I'm like, are you making your home nice to make it nice for you to come home to? And when I say home, I mean your emotional home. Are you nurturing yourself? Like, are you here taking care of yourself as the woman, the wealthy woman, the new version of you, the higher level version of you that has to still take care of that inner child, that poor little girl that lives inside you? Like, the woman, the feminine, the archetype there is nurture and care. And yet we completely abandon ourselves, especially in times that are so dysregulating, whether it's because of what's on the news or because a dog almost peed on my shoes or because, you know, I'm dating a new person. I'm not dating a new person. I'm now happily married. But like, you know my point. When the market corrects, like, that's going to trigger something. I know I'm ready for it. I've already practiced that because I want to make sure that my muscles for regulation in times of financial strain are strong. It's really hard to show up to game day at the Super Bowl when something like this happens and you've never gone to practice and you didn't play any of the 18 games in the regular season beforehand and you're supposed to perform at the Super Bowl. No, we've got to get the reps in. We've got to go to practice. So that's why reparenting and doing these practices anytime this comes up builds that emotional resiliency. And it's aligned with the feminine energy of the wealthy woman. It's aligned with the old money mindset because it's not so stark as it is to the stoic approach of just outthink your emotions, outthink your problems, just focus on what you can control. To me, that's too simplistic. To me, that's too masculine. To me, that doesn't fit with who I am as a woman. It doesn't fit with my cycle. It doesn't fit with my emotions or my energy. And it doesn't feel nurturing at all. So how can I connect with that root cause issue, the little girl that's afraid, that's unseen, unheard, unsafe, and actually resolve it? Connecting with our inner child sounds so like cringe. I know it does. And at the same time, I just want to pause to call myself out. You know, this is stuff that like we know needs to be done. Like it's not talked about for no reason. It's talked about because it works, right? And it's talked about because it's studied. It's psychology. And this last couple of years, I've done a lot of outsourcing of my care. I'm like, oh, the thing that's going to make me feel better is a bubble bath. A thing that's going to make me feel better is therapy or going to hypnosis or going to yoga. And those things are all part of my self-care rituals, but those things are not reparenting because my therapist even can't reparent me. My therapist can help me reparent myself. In the hypnosis, I'm not really going into reprogramming things if I'm not conscious about what the root cause is. And by the way, you don't have to pay a hypnotist to go into your subconscious and explore the things. It's definitely fun. It's definitely easier. But when we connect with our inner child and we connect with the memories that she carries and the unmet needs and the emotions that we may have pushed aside just to survive, when we turn inward, when we meet her with curiosity and compassion and we give her what she needed back then, as the adult we are today, as the wealthy woman we are today, then we are nurturing and caring for ourselves so that we can show up as a bright light in this world and be the catalyst to change. It's not about blaming our parents, by the way. It's not saying you neglected me and you failed. It's just about offering ourselves the love and the care and the regulation that we all deserve. And even this week, I had an issue with wanting some additional care from a parent, not getting it and feeling upset about it. And the same thing happens with that decision tree. What is the ripple effect going to be? Am I going to be irritated and annoyed and resentful and then carry that through to my partner and my job and my clients? Well, if I do that, it's going to have an effect of disconnection, of dysregulation, of further conflict, or I can decide to be regulated. I can decide to reparent myself and give myself what I need so that I feel whole and nurtured and cared for and realigned with myself so I can go back to my partnership and my business and my clients and my friends and my freaking trainer and have a good experience with her that makes a positive impact on the world. So when we're connecting with our inner child, our poor little girl, as I like to call her as an archetype, we find a quiet moment to be. And the process is starting to close your eyes and breathe deeply and start to conjure the image in your mind of that younger version of yourself, like the poor little girl inside you. And we're looking at her, we're picturing her, and maybe you just go with your gut and you pick whatever age feels right to you. Maybe it's 6-year-old you in the first grade. Maybe it's 14-year-old you going into freshman year of high school. Like, who needs you right now? There might be different versions of your poor little girl, but what age is she? What is she wearing? Where is she? What does she look like? What expression does she have? Really tapping into the sensory and the visuals and really connecting with that version of yourself, like how she felt in her skin. Be there with her. And you're going to approach her gently. Imagine you as a 14-year-old little rabid, angry little angsty teenager. Do you want somebody to come at you and tell you what to do? No. You're like, why doesn't anybody understand me? When you're 6 years old, you don't have the vocabulary to express your emotions the way that you do now. So now that you have those tools, you can ask her, you can say, how are you feeling right now? What do you want me to know? What feels scary for you? What feels hard for you? What do you wish someone would say to you? What do you need in this moment? Let her speak freely. Don't edit. Don't judge. Don't argue. Don't respond. Just let her be heard the way that she wanted. And feel those emotions. Like, just hear her out and let yourself feel those emotions. And your inner child might bring forward sadness or rage or shame or fear. Don't try to rush her. Don't try to fix it. Just breathe into the emotion. Just be with the emotion with her. And you might want to notice where it shows up in the body somatically, whether it's like a tight chest or a lump in your throat or just a pit in your stomach. Notice where the feeling's trying to be expressed. You can cry, you can journal, you can move your body, you can do any of the somatic exercises that are in the workbook in Old Money Mindset. You can say the words out loud. For me, this has been the most powerful thing, is to dialogue with myself. And I think about if it were me being a 6-year-old, a 14-year-old, and seeing this on TV right now and not knowing what's going on in the world, not feeling safe in this world, not knowing what to say. And my parents would probably not say anything to me. My parents wouldn't probably sit me down and be like, hey, it's political assassination. It's not the first time this has happened. It is very scary. What do you think about this? What do you want me to know? What feels scary or hard for you? What do you wish I would say to you? What do you need most in this moment? My parents weren't pitching a perfect game. Like, they didn't follow this every time something like this happened. And if I was exposed to it at school or on accident by walking past a television or seeing it on social media, like, how do you know? When you have the root cause and you can repair it yourself, it gives you the tools to be emotionally regulated. It allows you to control the way that you show up in the world, not from a place of a stiff upper lip, not from a place of non-expression, but from a place of full expression, from a place of fully nurturing yourself and your inner child and allowing that healing process. Because honestly, you don't have to fix anything. There's nothing we can do to fix what happened this week, but you can allow that process to be healing in and of itself and that awareness to be healing in and of itself. So the Stoics say, overthink it. The Stoics say you should control what you can control and ignore everything else. And I say that's great. I decide that I'm not going to jump into the stream of my emotions. I'm going to stand on the sidelines because I have the wisdom to know that when I jump into the stream, I usually end up into the ocean, pounded into the sand. I'm going to decide to build a bridge. I'm going to decide to build something that's going to serve me more. I'm going to build an aqueduct. I'm going to get a bucket. I'm going to do whatever it is that I need to do to take a drink of water, to process through the stream of emotions and be in that feminine space where I am taking care of myself first, because then I can take care of my family and my dog. I can be strong enough to fight that war. I can feel that conflict that's out there of the pressure of there's a war of good and evil and the political elites and then the rest of us. And I now have this platform and this audience and this community where I can do what I can do to share the very little wisdom that I have and hopefully make an impact on somebody else's life so that they can be more emotionally regulated and go have a good day, even if a dog pisses on their shoes. So to close in the conversation today and going through those two tools and looking at emotions and water and money and the Stoics and the feminine and the masculine, I want to realign us back into some of the things that help us be our best selves. And I mean that in the way that we are nurturing ourselves so that we have the strength to go and fight the good fight and to take care of ourselves in a really meaningful way. And the way I wanted to address that is by identifying all of the ways we abandon ourselves when things get tough and how that impacts our ability to emotionally regulate and to have that old money mindset. Because when we're not taking care of ourselves and we're emotionally dysregulated by the things that are going on in the world that we can't control, when we are not nurtured, when we're not doing the things that we need to do, it gives us even less power to do a pattern interrupt. It gives us even less energy to sit with our feelings and our emotions. It gives us even less life force and feminine energy to do the things that we need to do to show up in the world the way we want to show up. So some of the ways I abandon myself when things are busy or feeling crazy, and you might relate to some of these as well, is not eating enough, skipping meals, not eating well, eating what's fast and convenient, not taking the time to sit down and enjoy a meal and slow down, not giving myself enough time to digest properly, not digesting. You're walking around with a bunch of undigested food in your body, and then your energy in your body is going to trying to break down all of that bad food that you just ate. And because all of that energy is being directed to your gut and not to your brain, you're tired. And it's hard to show up in the world when you're tired, right? Speaking of being tired, how about another way I abandon myself? Overworking or not resting when my body needs it. Not sleeping enough. Last night I went to bed early and I slept in late today. I knew I was going to need it. So I just put my phone down earlier. I said no to TikTok. Put my phone down earlier. I read a book and I fell asleep early. Speaking of putting down the phone, how about being too obsessed with our phone? Or the news, just being in that cycle, watching the news, being addicted to our phone, scouring Reddit, investigating what everybody's saying and doing. That's not honoring myself. That's abandoning myself. Another way that I almost abandoned myself today was I almost skipped my workout. avoiding movement or not giving our bodies any exercise disallows us from processing the emotions that we need to feel. Emotions are energy in motion. So even if you just go on a walk around the block, or you stand in your room, or you shake your arms out, if you're feeling anger, you go to a wall and you push so hard against the wall. Those things, movement, moving the energy through your body is so important. We have to give our body movement. We also have to give it air and time outside. We are animals. We are mammals. We are not meant to be locked in a room under fluorescent lights all day, all the time. So if you're skipping time outdoors and you're skipping fresh air, you are abandoning yourself. You are not giving yourself the resources that you need in order to take care of yourself when the time comes. Being dehydrated, drinking too much caffeine, not paying attention to your cycle and trying to push through or fight through fatigue if you're in your luteal phase or you're menstruating, all of those things, you're abandoning the nature and the rhythmic nature of our lives as women. If you're not setting and upholding boundaries, you're abandoning yourself. Saying yes when you mean no, saying, okay, I'll do that, no problem, no worries, when there's lots of worries, when you're not setting and communicating boundaries, you're abandoning yourself. When you're not connecting with your community authentically and your friends and your family, that is abandoning yourself. When you are not verbally processing, if you're a verbal processor, you need to do that. That's okay to do, but just make sure you're doing it responsibly in a safe space. You're not dumping on your partner, you're dumping on your friends. You're processing verbally with yourself, with a partner when you check in to say, do you have capacity to hear me out? I don't need you to fix any problems. I just want you to hear me out. And nothing's wrong. I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to criticize. I just want to get my emotions out. I feel all of these tools are in the workbook. When you're ignoring your feelings instead of naming them or expressing them or processing them, you're abandoning yourself. If you're not making space for play or joy or creativity, or you're not taking care of yourself, if you're speaking to yourself harshly or you're critical or you're like, I should be doing better than this, you're abandoning yourself. And who is yourself? Yourself is your wealthy woman. Yourself is a poor little girl. And you deserve all of the care. And you do need to give it to yourself. Like we often think we can outsource our care and the things that we want and our needs to safety, for acceptance, for validation, for security. We think we can outsource that when we have a certain amount of money in the bank or we have the right partner. But the reality is we're the only ones that can give it to ourselves. And in times like these, it's more important than ever before, not just because selfishly, if you carry that emotional dysregulation, it's going to create those negative ripple effects in your pond, but societally, like it is the chance for us, as Ryan Holiday said, to do something meaningful, to be heroic, to do something that's going to change the course of the world. This is the time. So I'd leave you with this, a really, really big hug on a really hard week where I know there's a lot of fear. There's fear if you say the wrong thing or post the wrong post or like the wrong post. If, you know, I even thought like, do I want to post Ryan Holiday's message from July of 2024 whenever he recorded it? No, I don't, because then it's going to look like I'm insensitive to what happened this week and saying, get over it. And that's not it. I'm not a poster anymore. I'm barely even on social media because these conversations require nuance. They require care. They require context. And that's why posting a post isn't an act of political activism. It is posting a post. And so if we want to be politically active and impactful in our communities, we have to start with ourselves. We have to start by knowing how to take care of ourselves in a meaningful way so that we can show up in the world emotionally regulated, calm, cool, collected, so that when a deal goes sour or a business partnership falls apart or there's a tragedy in the world, we know how to step out of that emotional response and reaction and into the highest and best version of ourselves so that we can get the outcome we most want. That's what this is all about. You want to be wealthy. You want to be at peace. You want to be happy. You can have all those things. I recommend you start looking at that stream of emotions and of news and of money and of water as something to funnel so that you can process it or you can put it to good use and make it a part of your evolution as opposed to jumping into the stream and getting swept away by all of it, because it's very easy to do that in this day and age. So a little bit of a more somber episode, but so aligned with old money mindset and so aligned with what it is we all need to practice, just like going to the gym and building the muscles of the pattern interrupt, of the noticing, of the regulation, of the reparenting, of all the things, so that the wealthy woman is the one that shows up automatically. I love you guys so much. Thank you for being here with me. I'm sending you comfort and love and the energy to nurture and take care of yourself, because that's what real wealth is all about. I love you guys. Bye. Look at you investing in your rich life one episode at a time. You're not just listening, you're leveling up. If you have questions, comments, thoughts, or prayers, slide into my inbox at oldmoneypodcast@gmail.com or in my DMs on Instagram at oldmoneypodcast. If this episode made you laugh, think, or write down a single note, please do me a solid and rate, review, and subscribe. It takes less time than your morning scroll, and it helps this show reach more future millionaires. And speaking of growing the network, please share this with your ambitious bestie, your business buddy, or your secretly rich aunt. Please share the gospel of old money, and I will be more grateful than a trust fund kid on distribution day. Thank you for being here. I'm rooting for your bank account, and I will catch you on the next episode of Old Money. Remember, I am not your lawyer, I am not your tax professional, and I am not your financial advisor. The content presented in this podcast is intended to entertain, educate, inspire, and support listeners and their personal and professional development, and does not constitute business, financial, or legal advice.